welcome Aslona Barana and the 46th President of the United States, Joe Biden.
Mr. Mayor, thank you for welcoming me back to town. And I also want to thank the teacher for his remarkable hospitality, his generous remarks, and maybe most importantly, for his friendship. I want to thank the band that played earlier. God, you guys are amazing. And the academics. Let's give another big hand, by the way, to the chieftains. I remember being with you back in 2016. I'm grateful you came back for one more time to the Bourbon Night. Thank you, the Chief. Your music is incredible, and I've been a long-time fan. My good friend, Andrew Kenny, former teacher, a mailman is here with Finola, his wife. God love her. She's going to go straight to heaven. I love you both, but most of all, I want to acknowledge my family, all the Blewitts. You make me proud. You make me proud. All year, the words of the great male poet Andrew Rafferty have been ringing in my head. And it goes like this. He said, "Now the spring is coming. I shall raise my sail. Since it entered my head, I won't stay still until I shall stand in the center of County Mayo." I mean it, I had to be here. My son Hunter and my sister Valerie and I made several stops across Mayo today. We visited Locke Shrine, where I was hosted by Father Richard Gibbons. We also met, out of the blue, we didn't know he was there, a former military chaplain, Father O'Grady, who gave my son last rites in Walter Reed Medical Hospital in Washington. It was incredible to see him. It seemed like a sign. We traveled up to North Mayo Heritage Center, where I learned even more about my roots in Mayo. Roots that led me back here to Baltimore and to St. Murdoch. What a magnificent cathedral. I also learned, if you go far enough back, you can find a record of one Edward Blewitt, who worked for several years in the Ordnance Survey mapping this entire area of Ireland. But even before that, it turns out, he worked in the old Ballina Brickyard. We found a record, or I should say, the Historical Society found a record for me. In 1828, he was paid £21.12 to help supply these bricks for this cathedral. 27,000 of them. I was able to hold one in my hand today. They're damn heavy. They're heavy. As he labored, I'm sure Edward imagined that one day his family would worship here, that his children would be baptized here like his son Patrick was, and that future generations of his family would mark the milestones of their lives here in these sturdy walls. But I doubt he ever imagined that his great-great-great-grandson would return 200 years later as President of the United States of America. Isn't that amazing? And I want to thank you. I want to say thank you. I heard you all had an impromptu celebration the night I was declared the winner in 2020 election. You decked out the town, I'm told, in red, white, and blue, with cars and crowds gathering in Market Square, singing the green and the red of mail. Well, I tell you what, it means the world to me. It meant the world to me and my entire family to be embraced as Mayo Joe, son of Balana. My mother, my grandmother, who was maiden name was Blewett, they're smiling down on me right now, and I can tell you what, that song speaks to me. It goes like, oh, the feeling that came over me to stay forevermore, forevermore, stay forevermore, and on the green and red of mail, oh, the green and red of mail, oh, the green and red of mail. The truth of it is, being here does feel, I know you're going to say, it feels like coming home. It really does. Over the years, stories of this place have become part of my soul, part of my family lore. It was here where I imagine my great-great-great-grandfather took shade under yew trees after a long day at the brickyard. It was here I imagine his children climbed the limestone cliffs and played in the muddy bogs and fished in the River Moy. It was here where I imagine one of those children, my great-great-grandfather, Patrick, stood on the shores of Clew Bay and dreamt of becoming a seaman. When Patrick was just a teenager, he set sail for America for the first time. But in the 1850s, the famine hit Mayo particularly hard. He returned to Balama to gather the entire Blewett clan, mom, dad, and all the children. And together they boarded the Excelsior to sail to the United States. Just as I imagine their life here in County Mayo, I can only imagine how hard it must have been to leave it all behind, to leave the only place they ever called home, and to hold out hope on shores beyond. Like so many other men and women of Mayo, Edward and Patrick carried this hope with them across the sea. They settled in my hometown of Scranton, Pennsylvania, and Balama's sister city. As a matter of fact, I knew I was coming over, so you know what I did? I invited the mayor of Scranton, Pennsylvania to come with me. She's here tonight. This is Paige Cognetti. It was here, it was there in Scranton, where Patrick raised his own son, also named Edward. Edward Francis Blewett, my great-grandfather. His Irish pride ran deep. He helped found the Irish American Association, now known as the Sons of Friendly Sons of St. Patrick of Lackawanna County. He chaired Scranton's St. Patrick's Day Parade in 1897 for the Ancient Order of Hibernians. He became one of the first Irish Catholics ever elected to the Pennsylvania State Senate. And he became one of the first in my family to go to college, earning a degree in engineering from Lafayette College in Pennsylvania. But while Edward had the head of a scientist, he had the heart of a poet. Years ago, after my mom died, a lot of her belongings were in my attic. I couldn't get myself to go through them to empty the boxes. But when I finally did, you know what I found in the attic of my mother's keepsakes? Over 100 poems written by Edward Blewett, Senator Edward Blewett. And one from 1919 he wrote of his Ireland. From the fairest land except my own, these stars and moon and sun, a citadel of liberty, my mother's land a ruin. It was in Scranton where my mom, Catherine Eugenia Finnegan, met and married my dad, Joseph R. Biden Sr., who was a wonderful man, but whose saving grace in the eyes of the Finnegans was he had a Hanafy from Galway as his mother's side. It rescued the fact Biden's an English name. Together, they raised me and my siblings with a fierce pride in our Irish ancestry. A pride that spoke to both the history that binds us, but more importantly, the values that unite us. To this day, I can still remember hearing my dad say at the dinner table, "Joey," and I meant this is, I give you my word as a Biden, this is absolutely true. He'd say, "Joey, everyone is entitled to be treated with dignity and respect." I can still hear my mom say, "Tell me, Joey, nobody's better than you, but everybody's your equal." These are the same values I tried to pass down to my children and grandchildren, whom I've always dreamed of bringing to Ireland. In 2016, when I was vice president, that dream became a reality. Three generations of my family walked along Garden Street, where Reverend Bluer, brickmaker and surveyor, lived with his family. It was on Garden Street we learned the true meaning of the Celtic expression, 100,000 welcomes. Matter of fact, I think I shook 100,000 hands that day. I also met the extended cousins, who instantly felt like family I'd grown up with on Sunday dinners on every single week. This strong bond brought me back in 2017 when I was a professor at the University of Pennsylvania. No crowds, no motorcades, no Secret Service. Just me and my brother Jimmy coming home to see family. During the trip, I had the honor of turning the sod at Roscommon Hospice. As many of you know, that hospice is now open. And thanks to my cousin Loretta Blewett, and many of those, she's incredible, by the way, and many of those, there's a marker laid there in remembrance of my son. Bo passed away in 2015, a decorated war hero from Attorney General of Delaware after a valiant fight with brain cancer. So I can tell you how special it is that a place, a piece of his legacy, lives here among his ancestors. And thinking about it, I can hear my dad's voice again. He always says, "Joey, remember, family is the beginning, the middle, and the end." Beginning, middle, and end. That's the Irish of it. The beginning, the middle, and end. Everything between Ireland and America runs deep. Our history, our heritage, our sorrows, our future, our friendship, our joys. But more than anything, hope is what beats in the hearts of all our people. For centuries, even during times of darkness and despair, hope has kept us marching forward toward a better future. One of greater liberty, greater dignity, and greater possibilities. In the earliest days of my nation's history, thousands of Scots-Irish alongside George Washington defended those ideals. And then those democratic ideals were under threat during this, my nation's civil war. That's when the Irish immigrants came after the famine. More than 150,000 of them joined the fight to defend the liberty and equality, many serving in the legendary Irish Brigade. When one other Irish Catholic president, only other one, John F. Kennedy, visited Ireland 60 years ago, you can clap for him, man. He was something else. He presented your parliament with a flag of the regiment of that Irish brigade, honoring Ireland's great contributions to American freedom. It still hangs there to this day. It's a legacy of faith and fidelity to freedom, to one another, that's been handed down generation to generation to generation. Today, the United States continues to honor that legacy, including that one of a Mayo-born Marine named Patrick Gallagher. Patrick immigrated to New York in 1962. He worked for the Senate campaign of one of my political heroes, Robert F. Kennedy. A few years later, when he wasn't even a U.S. citizen, Patrick joined the United States Marine Corps and deployed to Vietnam. In January of 1966, Patrick's team was attacked in an ambush. When the enemy hurled a grenade at his team, Patrick threw himself on top of that grenade. He was willing to sacrifice his life to save his brothers in arms. He survived that attack today, but was awarded the Navy Cross for his bravery. Sadly, he was later killed in action. But this year, his name will be honored in iron as the United States launches a new Navy destroyer, the USS Patrick Gallagher from Mayo. You know, I've often said that we Irish are the only people who are actually nostalgic about the future. We always believe in a better tomorrow, because no matter what, we've always, always carried hope in our hearts. It's hope that lifted the way through the darkness and lighted it for us. Our strength has helped us overcome everyday hardship. And above all, our courage has allowed us to march forward in faith, even in the face of sorrow and setbacks. As we know all too well, this is not just the story of our past, but our present and our future as well. Earlier this week marked 25 years since the signing of the Good Friday Agreement. 25 years of peace and progress, not just for the people of Northern Ireland, but the people all across the island. It's a reminder of the importance of peace and what you can accomplish when we work together in common cause. Ladies and gentlemen, our world today stands at an inflection point where the decisions we make today are going to affect our futures for decades to come. And it's in these moments where we need hope and courage more than ever. We're facing enormous challenges around the world, challenges that are too great for any one country to solve alone. Together, we must take on these challenges of disease, food insecurity, which continue to devastate communities around the world, just as they did in Ireland generations ago. And I'm so proud to say that Ireland has not forgotten. You've stepped up as a leader to fight global hunger around the world today. We must tackle the climate crisis. It has devastating impacts to preserve our planet for generations to come. As I said to the Parliament, Ireland's famous 40 shades of green now include green energy, green agriculture, and green jobs. And with Russia's brutal aggression, brutal war of aggression, shattering the peace of Ukraine and in Europe, we must renew our commitment to our values our ancestors fought for. What do we Irish fight for? Freedom, democracy. It always must be defended. And I want to thank you. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I want to thank you for the incredible generosity you've shown, like so many other Irish families across this country who've opened up their hearts and homes to tens of thousands of Ukrainian refugees fleeing Russia's brutal violence. I've been there many times. Ireland remembers. Ireland remembers. So let me end where I began, with the bricks of this cathedral. Only 200 years ago, the bricks touched by my great-great-great-grandfather and his hands still hold up this story nave and hold it aloft. Like the Irish-American story itself, it's a testament to our shared past, present, and our future. It speaks to the sweat of the workers who raised the spire of Skyward brick by brick, just as they did in communities all across my home country. You know, over 32 million Americans claim to be Irish heritage. More would if they could. And I imagine all the hope and hard work embodying those Irish hearts inspired another one of my great-great-grandfather's Edgar Cranston Blewitt's poems. This one was from 1925, toward the end of his life. He called it The Workers. It goes like this. The march of progress cannot cease while hearts and minds and ardent souls are bound in faith to sublime things. My friends, people of Mayo, this is a moment to recommit our hearts, our minds, our ardent souls to the march of progress, to lay the foundations brick by brick for a better future for our kids and our grandkids. one of greater liberty, opportunity, and dignity, just like our ancestors did for us. I've never been more optimistic, and I've been doing this a long time. I've never been more optimistic about what we can achieve if we stick together and stick to our values. This is a time of enormous possibilities. And united by history, heritage, and hope, and made most of all by courage, nothing is beyond our reach. Every time I walked out of my grandfather Finnegan's home in Scranton, Pennsylvania, yelled, "Joey, keep the faith!" Then I'd hear someone from the house yell, "No, Joey, spread it!" May God protect all those who serve the cause of peace. And oh, one more thing. Mail for Sam! Mail for Sam!
Take me home to Mayo, across the Irish Sea, home to dear old Mayo, where once I roamed so free. Take me home to Mayo.
Hi, President of the United States, there, friends from Ballina. And actually, why don't we head across to Ireland and to County Mayo and to Brian O'Dwyer. Brian, are you settling down?
I am settling down, Adrian. Actually, I've left Mayo and I'm up in Belfast as we speak, getting ready for the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement celebrations, which are coming out today, tomorrow, through Wednesday.
Yeah.
So it's been a jam-packed, it will be a jam-packed week for me and many.
Yeah. Brian, I think, and so many Americans are heading over there also for the celebration and commemoration of the Good Friday Agreement. Brian, I want to, as we listen there to President Joe Biden and his rousing speech there in Ballina, it was indeed the highlight of his trip. But before he got to Ballina, were we ever delighted to see Air Force One, the President of the United States' official airplane, landing at Knock Airport in County Mayo. And, of course, Brian, most people would know that you are the international chairman of Ireland West Airport in Knock. Tell us, take us from there. The plane is landing. And,
well, Adrian, the plane, we're on the tarmac waiting for the plane. And of course, there are, as you know, when the President of the United States travels, there are literally well over 100 people in the advance party there that are with him. Not on the plane. There are two planes that came down. The first was the press plane and the aides. Second plane was the president's plane. But before that, there was, of course, great activity in the airport. The Garvey were all over the place with keeping people out, and the security was, obviously incredible. But to me, I guess watching that plane come down, the plane of the President of the United States at Knock Airport, brought back so many wonderful memories of people who fought so hard for Knock Airport and to make it the gateway to the West. It will bring a tear to anybody's eyes that had worked so hard and you know, in the face of such derision by the people who mocked it as, you know, the foggy place. You know, and I think, of course, in Monsignor Horan, whose vision that was, I think it was the late Joe Kennedy who worked so hard to make that vision a reality. So it was bittersweet in that sense. The thought of the people who came before me and worked so hard to make this a reality. And of course, our own Joe Gilmore, who's the executive director, who spent literally a month with the Secret Service and the staff, making sure that we were considered for the position, and Arthur French, our chairman. So it was breathtaking. I can't say it was anything less. It was breathtaking to know that our this little airport, not so little, thanks to Monsignor Horan, but this airport in the west of Ireland in the pace of a few years, saw a Pope and a President land on the tarmac as they made their way to County Mayo.
Brian, let's take from the plane arrival, the great reception at Knock Airport. Let's take that journey from Ireland West Airport over to Knock Shrine and to Father Richard Gibbons, the parish priest and rector of Knock Shrine.
Well, incredible. Once again, as we all know, Joe Biden is a man of incredible faith, and we had discussed this with his staff. I had a number of times saying as long as he was at the airport that he would be very that he'd be very happy to be at the shrine. As it turned out, I'm told by a number of people that every single stop on this trip was approved by the President. Nobody made this itinerary. It was his. So he definitely picked up on the fact that he wanted to go to Knock. The new basilica is beautiful, and Father Richard took him around. In one of those very weird senses of coincidence, there are a number of retired priests at Knock who served as chaplains to do mass and confessions, but that is a couple hours a day. One of those priests had been a chaplain in the United States Army. And only that morning mentioned to Father Richard that he had given last rites to the President's son, Beau, who was most beloved by the President and was on the verge of an incredible career, and had been the Attorney General of Delaware, serving in the National Guard, when he came at a young age in his 40s, came down with cancer of the brain and died, and deeply mourned by the President. And when the President heard this, he immediately sent for the priest that did that, and that he was on the premises but wasn't part of it. Delegation, and that priest was able to describe Beau's last moments to the President and moved him to tears. It was, some would say it was an incredible coincidence, others would say it was a second miracle at Knock, but it was in many ways, in all ways, the most emotional part of that trip that came about by happenstance.
Right. I want to, I want to go from Knock to Ballina, my hometown, and not yours. Your father and all the O'Dwyers, my mother. Yeah, in the middle of the bog there, up in Bohola, Lismaren. Okay, but.
I firmly proclaim that, not the high red district that you came from.
Yeah, and perhaps what you didn't know, but I'm very proud, particularly today, to brag about the fact that had you, left the cathedral, had you made a right turn, you would come to Bunry Bridge. It's a few hundred yards, you'd be up to it. And that's where I was born. I was the only Flannelly, by the way, born in Ballina. The rest of them, yeah, Dub and Atimas and whatever. And I was always proud, and still am, to say I'm from Atimas. But I don't know, after last night, I think I will, tell the truth and say, no, I was actually born in Ballina, down the road from the cathedral. Bet you didn't know that. And hold your wish now if you have any wise remarks to make.
I won't, and I assume that was the reason the president went to Ballina, not because of Blewett.
Sounds so much better coming from you, I was really, I didn't want to say that, Now you blew my cover. Okay, Brian, Ballina, you came to Ballina, and we have just listened to the entire speech there of President Joe Biden, and you would honestly, I think, I know you said Knock and Knock Shrine was the highlight of his trip. I would give equal time, actually, to his trip home to Ballina. And what a fantastic, amazing reception, And there
it
you
was
are.
An amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing. First of all, it was bitter cold. I you couldn't see that on the TV, but people were out in the, for hours and hours and hours waiting for him in the bitter cold. And he was late, as usual. I mean, the whole trip has been late. The reason is because he can't keep to a schedule because he can't stop talking to people and being good to people. But he was about a half hour late. But, people were there literally for hours. There were almost 30,000 people. When you consider what the population is in Mayo, is that was, an incredible crowd on both sides of the Moy River. And it was, the speech was, I'd like to say that it was not a political trip. This was not a policy trip. It was the same trip that many people have made over the course of the last two centuries. An immigrant coming home to his family. And that's what that speech was, and that's what that rally was. It was an immigrant coming home to his family. An immigrant that made good, by the way, but still, an immigrant that was coming home to his family. And that, I think that was the heart of the trip. But the Ballina speech was even greater. There is a question as to whether Joe Biden came to the nation of Ireland or came to the county of Mayo. And I would suspect
he straightened that out, Mayo or Joe, Proud as a Cheshire cat there, grinning it all the way through Mayo. Great. Brian, I think it would be fair to say, though, that for anybody who doubts that there aren't enough fans for to, you know, have Mayo take home the Sam Maguire Cup. That's put to bed now, right?
No, once the President of the United States declares it, I don't see how there could be any doubt.
Yeah.
No, that's I'm going around now to emailing all my friends and saying, to quote the President of the United States, quote, Mayo for Sam, end quote. After that, nothing more needs to be said. End of story.
Yeah, okay. Send that to Neil O'Dowd, who has made, you know, many sniggering, you know, remarks about, you know, Mayo and the Sam Maguire Cup, you know, including, you know, little wise-ass remarks like, you know, Ireland will be free before Mayo wins the All-Ireland. Now, can't one watch their words? Comes back now to bite him. But, Brian, the pressure that's going to put on Mayo to win the All-Ireland final this year, can you imagine that? You know?
I can't imagine. And, of course, it's moved up, by, I'm told now, the end of July. So they don't have much time to do it, but they'll do it.
Ah, they'll do it, okay.
You know what President Biden said, that the Irish live in hope. Well, if the Irish live in hope, the people of Mayo, it's double that.
Yeah.
For sure. Mm.
Okay, you know something? You're getting a bit schmaltzy now, so I think it's time. And besides, you took off from Mayo, you know, like a greyhound to head up to Belfast. So, you know, that's all right, too. One of the references that President Biden, I think, noted was... you know, he took a few lines from the song, the Saw Doctor song, The Green and Red of Mayo. And as we say so long to you, Brian, we're going to play The Green and Red of Mayo, Brian O'Dwyer. Thank you.
Thank you.
And, friends, I think it would be, you know, appropriate to play this next song. It is one that was actually made popular by Dana. Dana being the winner of the European Song Contest back, oh my God, close to 50 years ago. And however, the song is called Lady of Knock. And for this occasion, we're going to call on Deirdre Riley again. Friends, a historic visit to Knock Shrine yesterday by President Joe Biden.
There were people of all ages gathered round the gable wall, poor and humble men and women, little children that you call. We are gathered here before you, and our hearts are just the same, filled with joy at such a vision as we praise your name. Golden
And, okay, friends, that kind of brings us close to the end of our program today. And I hope you enjoyed it. And for those not from the county of Mayo, or from those who have no great grow, that's love for Mayo. And for those, you know, who feel that have the ha-ha, Mayo isn't going to win the All-Ireland football final this year, and the Sam Maguire is not coming, you know, to Mayo. Yeah, well, I'm sorry for your trouble, and but I must say, friends, that we have again had a tremendous weekend. All kidding aside, you know, to have the President of the United States visit Ireland, and indeed to visit at this time, the anniversary, the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. The conference, of course, is taking place up in Belfast, and hopefully over the next couple of days, agreement will be made, you know, to, well, to what we all want, what everybody wants. And again, President Joe Biden calling for the reestablishment of the Northern Ireland Assembly. It's within reach. It's probably the last great chance that Ireland, the island of Ireland, would have, and particularly for those who are living in Northern Ireland and the six counties of Northern Ireland, to do what they set out to do, you know, to have home rule, to be able to, you know, rule themselves instead of the catfighting that's going on at the moment, which is counterproductive to everything that people of goodwill, you know, would want. I want to thank Sister Magdalene Fitzgibbon, you know, who has been a nun, a sister, in the Benedictine community at Kylemore Abbey for over 50 years. And yes, friends, you know, the best way, and yes, I know that a great number of people, hopefully, will want to support the new monastery. It's, the building is halfway there. It'll be finished. And hopefully many of us will be able to travel to Kylemore Abbey, to the new monastery at Kylemore Abbey next Easter. But in the meantime, look, if you cannot make the event on May 10th, maybe, you know, just maybe, and by the way, that's going to be a great event, you know. I'm not sure the Cardinal is going to sing Take Me Home to Me. No, I won't let that all alone. A great way to actually, friends, to support in any amount, big or small, to support Kylemore Abbey New Monastery, you could, again, get onto the Irish-American Partnership based in Boston, their website, www.irishapp.org. That's www.irishapp.org. You might want to, indeed, get in touch with the marketing, North America marketing gal herself, nine Mary Reed, 914-420-3517. And if that doesn't suit you, well, then, of course, you can always log on to our website, irishradio.com. We thank, of course, Kevin O'Connor for bringing us the news and the sports from Ireland. We thank Sister Magdalena for spelling out very good reasons that this new monastery deserves our support in any amount, okay? The Irish-American Partnership website is www.irishapp.org. Again, www.irishapp.org. Friends, for those, you know, who tolerated this program today, I want to say, you know, we're humbly grateful for you, you know, or to you, rather, because, you know, I know it's tough for those who, you know, are not from Mayo. And, and particularly for those, you know, who, by the competitive nature of, you know, the Sam Maguire Cup, the All-Ireland Final, and those who are not in a position you know, wish and hope Mayo will win, finally, the Sam Maguire Cup. I have to say, I can understand that. Okay, we're very understanding around here. But remember who said it last. Mayo, bring home the Sam. Okay. Friends, Áine Sheridan, myself, Adrian Flannelly, and all of those that our engineers in particular who put the clips from at the president's visit, and to each of you, and of course to our sponsors too, Tourism Ireland, in being the main sponsor. So long, thank you. And you know something? All right, I might as well be hanged for a sheep as a lamb, as I play the last tune of the day on irishradio.com. It doesn't require much of an introduction. Actually, you know what I'm going to do? That is a very good version of the song. But you know something? I think that's a jazzed up version of Moonlight in Mayo. And, you know, we don't want to be giddy on the way out the door. So here's another version. From Louise Morrissey. Moonlight in Mayo from Flannelly, Irish Radio, New York. God bless.